You had better learn to pray and obey. I assume you and your family to enter the everlasting inheritance that God has promised you. That takes prayer without ceasing. It takes obedience. I'm not speaking here of justification, because faith is the only instrument that God uses to apply God's pardon of your sins and to recognize Christ's righteousness or his obedience as your own. I am referring, however, to the work of God's Spirit in you who are justified already. And as God's Spirit works in you, you must pray and obey. As great a servant that Moses was to God, Moses did not enter the promised land. At one point in his ministry, Moses failed to pray to Christ, as we just read. And I conclude that this must have been in Joshua's mind as God said to him, "Moses, my servant, is dead." I want to turn to Joshua chapter 1 and read the first 6 verses. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." What eulogy would you have given for Moses upon his death? And there are many good things to say about Moses, and if you look at his life. One didn't really have to do so much with his works as his parents, his amazing birth. He was born and was protected from the death that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had planned for him. That plan was for him to be killed. All the male children born to the Israelites were to be put to death. And his parents, as you all recall, managed to put him into a basket, or what they called an ark, and daubed it with tar so it didn't sink in the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him floating there and took him and raised him in Pharaoh's house. You might also remember that Moses sided with God's people while still living as an Egyptian. You might also think about Moses being faithful and helpful as a shepherd in a foreign land after he fled Egypt. And you might also recall that Moses was persistent before Pharaoh, despite the challenges that he faced from many sides, not just from Pharaoh and those in his court, but also from the Israelites and the elders of the Israelites. Even his own family was angry at him. His wife, as you recall, was upset when he had to circumcise his son. But Moses was persistent. He sought God's help when the people murmured for deliverance, for food, and for water. These are all things you might think to put in a eulogy about Moses. You might also think about him being a delegator of God's law to other rulers of the people. You might think of him as being a preacher of the gospel with a tabernacle and all the ceremonial laws. I hope you know that all these ceremonial laws, the temple, were actually proclaiming what Christ was going to do for the Israelites and all peoples of the world through Christ. And Moses brought that to them. You might recall that Moses was a preacher of righteousness, and I mentioned that in his eulogy. You might say he knew God, speaking to God face to face like no other. You might recall that he was a mediator and an intercessor for his people. You might also recall that he was a meek man. Yet despite all these good things that you could say about Moses at his death, he did not enter the promised land. He was dead, just as they were about to cross the Jordan from the east side to the west. The land was a type of our inheritance in the kingdom of God. The land was a type of the church. It was a part of our instruction. It is a part of our instruction as Christians, if you understand it that way. And so you should look and see, how are we to live as we look to receive our inheritance in God's kingdom? And you can consider, how was Moses expected to live to inherit God's kingdom? Are you faithful as a servant of God? Do you pray knowing that God is the source of all blessing and the strength for obedience? Moses was a servant of God. That was the simple eulogy that God gave of Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. What made him God's servant? Well, look at Hebrews 11 with me. Among a number of people mentioned in Hebrews, what we call the Hall of Faith in the Bible, Moses is mentioned. And verses 24 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. And so we see the emphasis on having faith in Christ and his promises to be God's servant. We need to have faith ourselves. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, how is faith manifested? I suggest that faith is manifested in a number of ways, but I'm going to pick two. Prayer and obedience. Pray and obey. This is what Moses or Joshua needed to learn from the short, brief eulogy that God gave at Moses' death. Moses, my servant, is dead. On more than one occasion, Moses interceded for God's people when God was angry at them for their lack of faith in God. Moses interceded for them. He prayed for them. He was a servant of God. I think also part of praying is being willing to learn. We're going to God in prayer. We ask for his help. We're asking him to teach us. And Moses certainly was a disciple. He was willing to learn. Are you? And he was obedient. Many times we read that Israel did such things as build the tabernacle as the Lord commanded Moses. Repeatedly through the Pentateuch you see that. As the Lord commanded Moses, they were being obedient. And remember, they were being obedient as Moses was praying. Moses was speaking to God. Do you obey God when you're preparing your family for worship, whether at home or whether here on Sunday. I also think we should remember that Moses was a loving ruler. He was a loving governor. He prayed for the Israelites because he loved them. Of course, he also loved God. So why was Moses dead? We all deserve to die. Moses wasn't perfect. We all need Christ, who was perfect. But why did Moses die before Israel entered the promised land? We read that he died before entering the promised land because he failed to speak to the rock, which was Christ. On this one occasion, he failed to pray. Do you remember to pray without ceasing? We are told in 1 Corinthians 10 that Christ was the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness. Moses referred to the rock in the song he wrote just before he died. For it was a song for Israel to memorize. And he wanted them to remember their rock. And he warned them of other nations' rocks. The rock was a spiritual rock that he was referring to. And this rock, we're told, is Christ. Moses was supposed to speak to the rock the second time. There was a first occasion where he was told to strike the rock, which he did obediently, and water came out. But later on, during the 40 years of wandering, Moses wasn't facing again the people not having water, and went to God, and God told him to go and speak to the rock. And instead, Moses struck the rock twice. And that was the occasion that God said he would not allow Moses to enter the promised land because he did not respect him. Moses, on one occasion, failed to pray. How important it is for us to pray without ceasing. Do you pray when you know you should? What keeps you from praying when you know you should? Is it because you're angry at someone? Is it because you're angry at the circumstances, and in that case, you're angry with God? Is it because you're lazy? Do you care more about TV, your work, your farm, your family, your friends, than you do about praying to God? You should do certain things to make sure you pray. The first thing is remember that others depend on you. Certainly Moses understood this. The Israelites depended on him, but you have your family that depends on you. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, they depend on Christ just like you depend on Christ. Ask God for his mercy. Intercede, that means praying on their behalf. Intercede for your family members. Your church depends on you. Pray for your pastor. Pray for other fellow members. Pray for missionaries. Pray for the kingdom of God as a whole. Pray for your fellow workers, your neighbors, your community, state, and nation. Intentionally get into the habit of doing so. It's very helpful to have habits at times. You can have bad habits, but you can also have good habits. Get in the habit of praying. I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Pick out a time a day that's going to be something you can be faithful at, and choose that as your time for prayer. Pray without ceasing. Also, check your frame of mind. Moses, as you will recall, was a meek man. We should be humble before God as well. And as you think about your frame of mind, consider, are you thankful? Pray with thanksgiving. And pray knowing the Word of God. Read it regularly. Meditate on what Christ has done for you day and night. Most importantly, recognize that you and Moses and I are in Christ doing these things. We are not doing these things of our own accord. Christ prayed perfectly without ceasing, unlike the rest of us, unlike Moses. Christ did not cease to pray in Gethsemane as disciples had. Christ did not even cease to pray when he was suffering on the cross and died. Even so, in Christ and as members of his spiritual kingdom, you should not cease to pray and obey. Remember that Christ did not remain dead. His body did not suffer decay as the body of Moses' had. Christ rose from the dead on the third day and later ascended to heaven. And from there he sent another comforter to you and to the church, a comforter like unto himself, that is the Holy Spirit. You do pray and obey in the Spirit whom Christ has given you. You don't pray in your own power. At least you shouldn't. Pray in the Holy Spirit, the gift that God has given you. What do you think Joshua thought when his mentor was dead at this point in time in history, and God reminded him of that fact? It had to be a warning of danger. Moses, my servant, is dead. He had to think that someone had to take Moses' place, and that was going to be him. And that was quite a challenge. Joshua was himself being called to be a servant of God. Joshua should have considered that he needed to pray without ceasing in order to be strong and courageous in leading God's people into the promised land. He needed to pray and obey. God confronted Joshua with the death of Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. This was the first thing God said to Joshua as God was about to commission Joshua with leading the Old Testament church in conquering the promised land. These words were important for Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. They are important for you as well. You can see that Moses was a servant of God, and you can see that you also are to be the servant of God. Your time for serving in this life is short, for you will die. What will you do with your time as a servant of God? I suggest you pray and obey as a servant of God. How would you have written a eulogy for Moses now? I hope you will remember to mention that Moses, as a servant of God, was a man who prayed and obeyed. This should have been important to Joshua, leading God's people into the promised land, and it should be important to you as you lead your family in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to pray and obey as we trust in the gift of your Spirit to accomplish this in our lives and in the life of the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.